Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary.
Hey guys, Rob Nunner here. Before we get today's episode kicked off, just wanted to give a quick shout out to a couple of the organizations that have made this podcast possible. So first, the Dink has been super supportive of the It Feels Right podcast, and they take care of all the back end stuff, production stuff that Adam and I, one, don't want to do, and two, don't know how to do. So big shout out to the Dink for helping host this podcast, take care of all the back end stuff. It's been great just to be able to do what Adam and I love, which is talk about pickleball with you fine folks while they handle all the other stuff. So that's the Dink. Also, big shout out to our new sponsor on the show, which is Selkirk. They have done a ton, obviously, with paddles, but they are so supportive of not just pro players, but also just content creators and other people looking to grow the sport. So, because of their sponsorship, Adam and I are allowed to do what we love, which is talk about pickleball. And doesn't get better than that. And you know, on a personal side, I switched over to Selkirk as a player and have been loving the paddles, still trying to dial it in. But I'm playing with the Project 002, which has a ton of pop that I'm not used to, and I'm starting to adjust, and I'm starting to really enjoy it. And so that's Selkirk. You can check them out, selkirk.com, and I know you see their content everywhere, so it doesn't really matter. They will find you. That's all I got. Enjoy today's podcast.
Are we recording, Robert?
We're recording.
Oh my!
This was I didn't know if this was going to happen, but we committed to doing it. It feels like anytime we get in person, it's much more difficult to record a podcast. But
yeah, why is that? Yeah, that's interesting.
Because we have stuff going on. We're moving and shaking.
We'll go with that. Sounds good. We did have a little bit of partying going on last night, some Mexican food and some cocktails, and you know, I'm a little dehydrated this morning, but I think I'm gonna power through.
This is our championship Sunday.
This is. I mean, we're in championship Sunday as we speak.
So we've got we're in Port Charlotte, but here for the APP Punta Gorda. You got the Hyundai PPA Masters going on in California, which is weird because they're in Palm Desert and they're getting a lot of rain delays, and I think the tournament had to stop yesterday because of rain, and they're trying to make it up today, but courts are still wet and they're trying to get some in, but it doesn't look good in terms of finishing the tournament.
Yeah, and really both tournaments not the smoothest weather. So no. here at the APP, like you said, some howling wind, a little bit less yesterday, but definitely on Friday, and a slight rain delay as well. So, but I think that's a little more expected in Florida, but Palm Desert to get, and they, Corinne just said there's a wind advisory right now
in Palm Desert.
In Palm Desert,
so
along,
strange,
along huh? with the rain and the weather. So, first big weekend of the year, two tournaments going on, a lot of action. And I can only hope that they are able to finish, that draw at the PPA Hyundai Masters, because it's not really looking great right now.
No, and they're just in the quarters right now.
Yeah, and yeah. So we moved to one game to 15 for the main draw on mixed day Friday. So, yeah, hopefully they get it in. I was, you know, really hoping to see some of these results, and you know, that's when it gets really good. Especially, I mean, obviously there's plenty of good, especially now, plenty of good early round matches, but right when you get to that quarters or so, that's when the matchups get real juicy. So, sad, wasn't able to see some of those results, but, you know, there's still a chance they'll get it in.
Yeah. And there's a few thoughts that came up. You mentioned we went to a game to 15, versus the 2 out of 3 on, what was it, Friday?
Friday mixed.
Yeah, so Friday morning it rained. Kind of moved through pretty quickly, a few hours. We started right around 12:30 playing when we were meant to have an 8 o'clock start. But it's, you know, since it's mixed, right, you only have the one bracket. You don't have men's and women's going. So a little easier to get through. I'm just not a big fan of changing scoring formats for pro events.
Mm-hmm.
I think you like compare it to tennis, right? You would never see a pro tennis tournament go to, you know, let's do no ad scoring or let's just play one set to determine a winner in a main draw where you're playing for money. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so the game to 15 in those conditions, cause it was, I mean, I think I took a snapshot of my phone of a screenshot of my phone looking at the weather app and it was 25 miles per hour sustained winds. and so for reference, college tennis matches, I think the ITA has a rule where if winds are sustained over 20 miles per hour, that you cannot play. Okay. Or if the high temperature for that day is below 50 degrees, which that was fine because I think it was like 55, 56 here. Mm-hmm. But the winds, I mean, we're talking, you know, tennis ball versus a wiffle ball.
Exactly.
Too. So
big difference.
That wiffle ball and 25 mile per hour sustained winds is just a disaster. It's a mess.
Right. And the only time I can remember it happening in pickleball was several years ago at the Plaza in Vegas.
Rooftop
Vegas, where the winds were so ridiculous that they actually moved it into a gym floor.
Gym floor. Yeah.
So that was pretty interesting. Several players pulled out, weren't interested in playing on the gym floor. But yeah, that's the only time I can remember in pro pickleball where the wind caused a change in venue. So but yeah, it was wild out there. You know, big, you see a lot, you know, for whatever it is, maybe backdrop, maybe a little breeze, there's a good side and a bad side kind of this. So you see a lot of, you know, a lot of slow starts and a lot of comebacks at the turn when you're playing that game to 15 with the elements involved and having that good side or so. So, you know, it is what it is. It's all good. But yeah, I mean,
I think we're going to have to get to the point where we have, yeah, there's standards, right?
Right. Just in writing, it's just a rule, you know, as opposed to maybe a little.
Feeling it out.
Right.
You know, licking your finger and holding it in the air. but yeah, I mean, you know, this is just in terms of kind of experience here in Punta Gorda, very, very similar to, you know, previous tournaments that have been held here. It didn't feel very different, right? Mm-hmm. Like it was. You know, the Pickleplex, you got the 16 courts. Matches didn't seem to move very fast. They moved a little faster yesterday for the gender events, but even with the rain delay and even changing the scoring to games to 15, I mean, there were some massive waits between matches on mixed day. I'm talking, you know, 2-3 hours between matches, and you're hanging around. It's freezing. You're sitting in your car huddled up trying to stay warm.
Right.
There's just, in my opinion, there's a lot of things that need to change, not just with the APP and, you know, this tournament, but, you know, scheduled match times, the not before we talked about this,
yes.
Not before 10 a.m. or not before noon. Like, I just feel like after you finish a match, you should know the not before time of your next match, just so you have some kind of frame of reference, you know, like we've been doing it for a while now and we kind of know like kind of the flow of it. But, you know, for new players coming in, like I remember Noah Rubin, he was just like, what is happening? What? I just got off court. I'm going right back on court. He was a little rattled and flustered. Didn't know what, like, welcome to pickleball.
Yeah. I mean, I think we said just totally, you know, arbitrary numbers, whatever. Just you have to have at least 15 minutes and you're never going to wait longer than an hour or an hour and 15.
Right.
So, something like that. Yeah. I mean, you know, these guys are, I mean, at this point, literally professional athletes, so you kind of have to just figure it out and stay mentally tough, but it's a little spirit-breaking when you have that three-hour wait in the middle, and that's not even necessarily with the cold and everything else. It's just to stay mentally locked in for a whole day and have these big gaps, you know, it's not super easy sometimes.
Yeah, and there's a challenge too, right? Like if you're, you know, let's say you lost in the winner's bracket and you get dropped down to the opportunity bracket, you're waiting for two or three matches in the consolation to catch up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you might be sitting for 3 hours while the guys that you're going to play have just played a couple of matches. Their last match just got off court 15 minutes ago,
sure,
and they're, you know, they're dialed. They've been playing. They're warm, and it's, yeah, knocking off the rest of a 3 hour break's tough.
Yeah, no, I mean, and you know, there's, you know, some amateur brackets, and you know, I know that there's lots of, I mean, you know, they it's kind of staggered. They have kind of different brackets, kind of starting throughout the day,
yeah.
And you know, obviously the rain delay affected something. But you know, with the change of format, you know, they know how many matches are they have. They know how many courts they have. You know, I know it can't be easy, but you would think that maybe we could just get a little more smoothness to some of the days. But yeah, it's all good. It was, yeah, it's the Pickleplex is cool. All the courts individually fenced. Yeah, nice facility. You know, with the 16 courts. And while there is still a lot of talent on the APP tour, obviously some of the heavy hitters have switched over to the PPA. So I thought it was kind of interesting to see some of the players, some of the younger players, maybe not totally right now able to rival, you know, the Simonis and the Andre Daescus, but it kind of, it almost seemed like they came out of their shell a little bit. So when you get some of those top people that move over the stars, some of these next gen players, Alex Trong, some of the younger players, you kind of, it's kind of like their tour now a little bit. So I thought that was an interesting take on it. And I was kind of, you know, roaming around paying attention to that kind of stuff. And, you know, I liked it. I thought it was a cool vibe with everyone out there. Yeah. And, you know, for that first tournament, not having all those players that were there last year, not there. So I was wondering what it was going to look like and feel like. And that's kind of how I felt.
Yeah, and similar to last year, I mean, you're going to get a lot of interesting results, right? It's not going to be stale. It's not going to be kind of the same partnerships and same results week in and week out. So, you know, that's kind of what set the APP apart last year was the variety in results and partnerships and seeing new stuff and new players kind of emerge. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm expecting to see the same this year. And especially as we get a bunch of new tennis players coming in, you know, they're going to come to the APP to you know, dip their toe in.
One of my favorite things on Friday, we had
breakfast.
We had that rain delay. So we go to a breakfast. It's myself, Corinne, Andre, and you, Rob, and Noah Rubin and Lisa Raymond. Yeah. Is that correct? Yeah. So and is it Allie Click?
I think
I think that's right. Anyway, so both Allie and Noah, very well-known tennis players, got right around, I believe, around the 100 ranking. And they walk past us, and we have steak, eggs, biscuits, and hash browns. And the look on Noah Rubin's face was just like, you guys are playing later, right? Hey, man, this is pickleball. We're eating biscuits. We're eating steak and eggs.
It was like a blend of shock and disgust.
Yeah, it was like, oh, okay.
Oh, it was good.
It was so good. I wish I could, you know, have a picture of his face when he walked by. Like, wow, they're really doing it over there.
And Andre's just like, I have a fast metabolism.
Yeah, Andre's like, I'll be
he must though.
I'll be hungry again in an
so
hour.
So skinny,
you know? Andre. Well, I mean, the man works hard out there.
That was great.
Nobody hits more balls at a full lunge than Andre Daescu.
That's very true.
So the man's moving out there.
He is,
and I believe he is in. He just sealed the deal in men's doubles for a gold medal, and he's in the mixed final as well. Or has that already happened?
I'm not sure if that's happened yet.
So we're recording at 1 o'clock Sunday afternoon, so we're kind of getting some
results as they come in.
Yeah, information trickling.
Prof,
in.
we need you're going to be our live reporter here.
Yeah, that's right. I got
people like when profs are around, but like not necessarily on. Well, they like when you're on camera too. that sounded bad.
I liked it.
But remember, like the first episode was like this. I know you like that. But then we were like, Prof, what do you think about that? And they're like, they just like knowing that she's here.
Yeah, that's right. Hey, Prof.
one other, I guess, kind of, you know, one other thing that put fans in a frenzy a little bit was the lack of live streaming.
Yeah,
because that was kind of a new thing that nobody really expected, nobody knew. But there was no APP live streaming on Thursday for singles or Friday for mixed, which. I understand singles on a Thursday, you're not going to have, you know, much viewership in terms of numbers. So maybe it doesn't, maybe the numbers don't justify the broadcast production and the cost that goes into it. But for mixed doubles day on a Friday, you know, people are at work wanting to kind of check out and watch some pickleball. I think you have to have it. And talk to the APP a little bit and they're just like, the viewership numbers don't justify the cost of production. So, you know, in one sense, I respect that they're making actual like business decisions, like smart business decisions in terms of like cost and having everything actually make sense and not just like throwing money at everything. But on the other hand, it's like, if you're, you know, you're a pro tour, you are in a sense competing with the PPA. It's a pro tour. You have to. And if you don't have a live stream, it's bad. You have to.
There's a lot of pickleball junkies out there, Rob, and they need their fix.
They do.
And if they don't get the fix, they're not happy with it. So that's how I understood it as well, Rob, that moving forward in at least the near future, there will be no Thursday or Friday streams, and it will be limited to one court. They were often doing two last year, and it'll be one court on Saturday and Sunday as well. So, it's
a bummer, I think. Yeah.
Definitely, because it's a pretty strong kind of core group of viewers, you know, and to have the basically half of the live stream time basically cut in half is an issue. So, but hey, I mean, numbers don't lie. If it's not completely adding up, like you said, with those business decisions, that's just part of the deal. And you know, here we are.
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about streaming a lot, and I lean towards more streaming, more courts, no commentators on all those courts, but like having a fixed camera just to shoot it so you can watch if you want. Mm-hmm. And I think the argument that the APP has there is that they don't want to put out a subpar product, and they feel like that would be a subpar product.
So they'd rather not have it.
Okay. That's a tough one because, you know, for players, you know, you want more exposure, you want more eyeballs on you, your sponsors want to know that you're going to be on the stream. Mm-hmm. And I think if you have every court streaming, maybe not every court, but call it, you know, 4, 5, 6 courts, whatever it may be, to get the majority of pro matches, it's better for the players. And so the money they're saving on that Thursday, Friday, it'll be interesting to see where they allocate those resources. And, you know, hopefully it's to the players' benefit in some form or fashion, because not having the live stream hurts the players.
Yeah, definitely. And do you have any idea, Prof, if they've resumed play at the PPA Masters? They have. Okay, gotcha. So they did finish the mixed draw at the PPA. That was was that Friday? That was Friday. So we had pretty chalky stuff, really. I guess there was a slight upset with some people might think it's a little bit more major, but I would just call it a slight upset with David and Wilson beating Lucy and Matt in the quarterfinals to move on to the semifinals, where they faced off against Jesse Irvin and Riley Newman and lost that one in 3 games.
Yeah.
So championship Sunday, the 1 and the 2 seeds made it. I didn't really see too much throughout that was surprising.
No,
so
yeah, pretty chalky.
I think probably singles, there was a few more kind of surprising early
early
losses in at the PPA Hyundai Masters, and man, that singles draw was stout.
I don't want any part of that.
I was just looking at the draw, and it's not, you know, I mean, we're seeing a lot of the matchups that we see in the semifinals in the second round, and I was just like, my goodness gracious, that's a long day. When you have to beat, I don't know, Tyson, James Ignatowicz, Federico Staxrud, and somebody else to make it the championship Sunday.
I think Ignatowicz was actually in that draw.
Just an example. You don't have to beat one stud. You got to be 3 or 4 studs.
Totally.
And that is some serious stuff. And even the women's draw was a little bit deeper, and I think had a few more entries than sometimes we're seeing. What was it? Dominique Schaefer or something? I saw. I'm not exactly sure who that is, but just athletic younger girl in the mix is I think we're going to see more and more of it.
So, I agree.
Wild draw. The doubles draws are a little bit deeper, but I don't know why it really, like, I really noticed it in that men singles draw.
Because there's like,
oh man.
There's a lot of good players in singles.
So we had, let's see.
We talked about last year. Like, I thought the APP in singles was stronger than the PPA last year. Now most of those guys went over, so now it's just full on.
Yeah, full on. So that, I mean, I think that was a fair argument that maybe 1 through 15 or 12 or 15, the APP was a stronger singles field. little more top heavy at the PPA. So now you have the top heavy and the depth. Yeah. The depth. So you got it all.
But who got into the championship Sunday? You have Stacks. Stacks got through.
I believe that's true. Yeah, I believe and that's true. Let me look this up. I don't know this. Running out. My life's in shambles, Rob. All my devices are not charged.
You're here and you're talking in a microphone.
Yes. I'm a little dehydrated this morning.
Well, at least you have Prof to take care of you.
Yeah. She
just laughs.
Yeah, she takes care of me, let me tell you. She's worried about her. She's not worried about me. I respect it.
Well, I mean, it's not like she's pregnant or anything.
Yeah,
it's
right.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Pregnant lady. So let's see here. Yeah, we got Colin's brother and Federico Staxrud, who was able to defeat Dylan Frazier in the semifinals in three games.
Yeah.
Dylan coming all the way back through and getting bronze.
Well done, Dill.
Well done, Dill. Of course, we had the Alex Newman 3-3 over Sam Querrey in the first round.
That's not a surprising score at all.
No, I don't think so. And then probably the biggest upset would be Christian Alshon, the tweener king, self-proclaimed.
Self-proclaimed
tweener king, beating Tyson McGuffin 11-2, 8-11, 11-4 in the second round. And then Staxrud
just rolled him.
Pretty much rolled Alshon 3-7 in that quarterfinal matchup. So, lots of firepower. And Corinne and I watched just a little bit of that Alshon McGuffin match.
Yeah.
I mean, the guy kind of moves like a gazelle.
Dude, he's an athlete.
He's just, whether it's an aggressive roll drop third or a drive, and he is just kamikazing in, just
he's good, tracking balls.
Good wingspan, great movement. Just, I mean, the dude's an athlete for sure. And I would be shocked if that's the first upset or the last upset he comes up with
in these
next few tournaments.
I mean, obviously the talent's there. It'll be interesting to see if he can kind of sustain that, because we see that all the time, right? You get a solid upset and then a letdown in the next match, which seemed to happen against Stacks.
Yeah, right now the clear-cut number two singles player, Tyson, after these last handful of tournaments, he's been doing pretty well. So the letdown makes sense. He was amped up and super fired up. And actually, I missed this as I was scrolling through. Probably an equal upset, I would say, is Connor Garnett defeating J.W. Johnson in the second round.
Yeah, and that was pretty straightforward, too, 7-5. So, not super surprising to me. Like, played with Connor up in Coeur d'Alene. He was up there with us when I was up there with Tyson. And Connor's good at singles, man. He can rip the ball. He's super fast. He can really make the ball bend with that paddle. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to see a lot more of him in singles, and he's getting much better at doubles as well. So, CG.
There you go. I remember the days in my singles days where, like, people didn't have backhands.
Yeah.
You just like, oh, you hit it to his backhand, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Return to the backhand, go to the kitchen.
It's easy. Real simple, elementary stuff. Some of these two-handers are crazy. And I think Connor has probably one of the best ones.
Oh, I would say it's the best.
He really whips through lots of rotation on the ball and a lot of power.
It's just, man, the paddle technology is changing the game completely. Like, it's really a different game, you know? Like,
big time.
The things, like, just, man, yesterday with that new carbon that Andreas was playing with, like, I let a couple balls go, and I mean, the bend that he had on that was just bonkers.
Yeah, and
bonkers.
And Andreas Silström, who was drafted to the Challenger League and just ended up losing but getting silver with Joey Farias at the APP, and he's fairly new to the game, and it was one of those situations where you could almost see him getting better during the tournament.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me of the beginning of Deckel, you know, where he might his first couple tournaments he started as a 4-5 and then, you know, ended up making it to 5-0 level in a single draw of the tournament. So the dude's a giant. He's 6'9", the length and the reach is fantastic, and you can see him really trying to use that reach.
Yeah.
Not all tall players do that. We've talked about this many times, but you could see him really trying to do it. And if he totally gets it figured out with that kind of reach and the nice topspin strokes he has on both wings, I mean, the guy was 47 in the world in doubles.
Yeah.
So the guy's got talent.
I think the unique thing about him, when you look at him compared to, like, some of the other guys that are that big, like a Isner or a Querrey, is Andreas has like legit hands.
Yes.
Those other guys don't.
Right.
Like
right.
His hands are good.
Yeah. Like I saw him do a couple speed ups and they great counterattacks from his yeah. opponent and then kind of low, kind of down. And he just kind of puts the paddle out and drops a soft yeah. shot back in the kitchen. I was like, ooh. So to rip, come back quickly and then make the adjustment yeah. and go soft. That always stands out to me a little bit as someone that can go back and forth between that. That's we talked about that with Jack Sock.
Yeah.
How it's not just heavy-handed guy. There's real feel and touch with those hands yeah. as well. And you know, if you got those physical tools and you have those hands, it's a hell of a starting point to make a great player.
Yep.
All right. Anything exciting happening over there, Prof, with these results? No? Yes, no, maybe so? What'd you say? Chalk. She says chalk stuff.
Prof wait. Dropping the chalk. Wait, I like it. Chalk. I like it. That's great. Chalk.
She says chalk. Oh, wow. We had, I didn't see this. We had J.W. Johnson and Dylan Frazier 12-10, 11-9 against Spencer Smith and Christian Alshon.
That's tight.
And I don't know personally, but from what I've heard, that Christian's singles game is definitely had a higher level right now than his doubles. So that tight, you know, I'm high on Johnson and Frazier as a team. So, you know, really, really tight one there with Alshon.
What are we thinking with J-Dub? Obviously going down to Connor upset. I think it's less of an upset knowing Connor's game a little bit, mm-hmm. but J-Dub's been falling a little flat in singles. I think he was the four seed in that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think U.S. Open last year, you know, we kind of looked at him as like, okay, he's going to be the guy soon. Mm-hmm. And we've seen all these other singles players come in now. What do you think's going on with J-Dub?
I mean, J-Dub's great. I mean, he's obviously an awesome player, but, it's when he's playing doubles that the hand speed is just so electric mm-hmm. that doesn't carry over as much into the singles game. And so I just consider him, you know, a really high floor, but not next level weapons kind of singles player. So the hand speed and doubles, that is his weapon.
Yeah.
And of course you use that some in singles, but not as much. So yeah, I would just expect him to possibly, if some of these shot makers, maybe a Connor Garnett or Julian Arnold are on.
Yeah.
I would take them over J-Dub, but if they're off, J-Dub's not going to dip too low in his level. I think that's kind of where I see it, and I think you're exactly right. 6 months ago, it was reasonable to think he was the heir apparent, and now I would probably just say he's just really good.
Yeah.
As opposed to...
I think, one thing I just see with his game versus some of these other guys like, you know, Connor coming in is... J-Dub hits the ball a little flatter. There's less bend on it.
Okay.
Like these other guys are bending it, creating wild angles out of nothing.
Banana ball.
Yeah, pretty much. And I don't, J-Dub strokes a little different, a little flatter. Mm-hmm. Can't create quite the same angles as some of these guys with the other paddle. So interesting.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, the options that you have to hit shots, it was just with the paddles 2 or 3 years ago, you just didn't have the option to hit some of these shots. And now you're like, your choices, the tree that you can, your shot tree, it's just so much broader and wider. And these players are taking advantage of it. And, you know, why wouldn't they? So
I remember like right when I came in, I was trying to figure out like what I could do with this paddle, like compared to like a tennis racket, you know, it's like your first week playing. You're like, okay, just playing around, like trying to figure out, okay, like what's possible with this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember like having a closed face and being at the kitchen and just trying to like roll it and whip it and just go straight down into the bottom of the net. And you're like, oh, okay, can't do that.
Like it doesn't grab. Yeah.
But the paddles now, when a tennis player comes in, they try that, it works.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so different, man. It's like all the stuff that you came in thinking that's not possible, now any of it's possible because these paddles are so ridiculous.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it would do. It just wouldn't catch. It would slide off.
Yeah, it would just go down.
It would slide off. So now when it makes contact with the ball's not sliding off. It's grabbing it and going.
Yeah.
And, man, I mean, it's – basically almost a different sport
when you have that.
So and I don't think we've seen near the end of it. There's gonna be someone come in with just one tournament and just has this crazy shot or this forehand and with the spin and the, you know, the margin for error to hit it hard and keep it in. And, you know, everyone's going to be like, what's happening?
Yep.
Yep. All right. Let's see. Yeah, nothing really good. We can't really do the live stats. It's hard.
I'm
all over the place. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, it's okay, Adam. You're here. You're talking. You're recording. You're in good form. You look good. You sound good.
Robert, I'm dehydrated.
Yeah, you need some more water.
Too many IPAs.
Prof just giggles.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what, that Joey Farias is a gosh darn champion.
He is a champion.
He definitely had some cocktails with us last night, and
yeah,
he's out there doing his thing on Championship Sunday today. So, you know.
Well done, Joey.
Oh, yeah. I always have a soft spot in my heart for
Jose.
I got that going a couple times.
Yeah, that was going.
So they were playing the Johnsons. The Johnson twins in the bronze medal match yesterday is what it was.
And they took that.
Yeah, and that was a pretty good match as well. So it was fun to watch. And yeah, it was a good time. So I'll have to say I enjoyed my experience coming out of retirement to play with my lovely wife, Corinne Carr. But I think I had more fun drinking beer and watching the match. Sorry, babe.
I would believe that.
Let's see. And so there's we have MLP at the end of this month, and I believe there's one more PPA in between. Is that correct? One in Arizona, or am I wrong?
No, not before MLP.
Okay, so it's in February.
It's the week after. Gotcha, so MLP is in Phoenix the last weekend of January, and then there's a tournament the following weekend, PPA tournament in Phoenix as well.
Yeah,
and next week we have there's a tournament, no PPAs or APPs. It's an independent run by Carl Foster Events Group, and that's in Boca.
Gotcha. Okay, gotcha.
So I'm sticking around this week. I'm going to drive over to the other side of the state today, practice with that whole baller crew down there.
Pretty solid. They got a pretty solid crew.
Yeah, I got a great crew.
Yeah, and it's nice when you have like a pool of like 10 or 12.
So yeah,
if you only have four people and someone can't do it, you're done. So you have that little rotation. Someone can't do it, they can, you know, throw in a scrub like Andre or something
to mix into the
group. So that high level play every day, I just can't describe to you how important it is.
Oh, it's huge. That's probably helping Andreas a ton, right? Like he's over there with that crew.
Mm-hmm.
I know Ignatowicz said, you know, he's practicing a lot with them, and there's really no better way to come into the sport than having, you know, practice with the top players in the sport. So
right, and James sent me a couple messages yesterday, and he was pretty high on Andreas.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't think Andreas is even close to a finished product yet.
Yeah.
With how new he is, but James had some strong words about how this could be the type of player that is the future of the sport. Like in terms of lengthwise, his ability with his hands. We've talked about this before. Is it going to settle in as 6 foot to 6'4" is the best range?
Yeah.
Or some of these really tall guys, while they have the reach, are they going to be limited in some other aspects of the game? And James seems to think that if you can find a 6'9" guy with solid hands, that might be the prototype. There might all look like that in 3 years, you know?
Maybe, but one, it's hard to find a 6'9" guy as is, and two, a guy that also has good hands.
I
don't know if I'd call it the future of the sport, because I think it's a rare breed.
Right.
But in terms of, you know, being a recipe for being a great player, yeah, absolutely. I just don't think there's going to be a lot of those guys.
Sure. So, that's great. You'll get some practice over there with that crew. And you said it's in Boca?
Yeah.
Carl Foster. I know he was somewhat associated with the APP last year. Am I right?
Yeah, I believe so. I think they had some joint tournaments, but I think, APP kind of separated and said, you know, run your own thing, do it.
Sounds good. And I'll tell you what, being kind of helping out and involved with the Hard Eights, and then also Corinne being on your team, some of these owners and stuff are stepping it up a little bit.
You're having some
nice team houses. I believe you guys have a chef.
Yeah.
A chef that's going to be cooking for you. The Hard Eights team is getting an SUV to drive everyone around. So it's getting a little more official and more real, and that's pretty exciting as far as I'm concerned.
It's awesome. Yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Yeah, it's going to be a different kind of format. I didn't know this, but I heard that, you know, the Premier League has two pools of six, mm-hmm. and Challenger has three pools of four, which I'm not totally sure why they're doing different formats for different divisions. But it'll be cool to see how it all comes together.
Yeah, definitely. Robert, we're wearing the same pants.
Oh, we are. That's we fun. Did this. Didn't we fun. Match in another episode too that we did video? Maybe in Columbus.
I feel like maybe we should start doing that more often.
Matching?
Yeah, when we're live together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels.
We should have.
Right?
I should have worn a green jacket. I actually have a green jacket, but I left it in Utah.
This is my only green piece of clothing, Corinne.
I don't do green a lot either.
I do blue and gray. Corinne wants me to branch out a little bit.
Blue and gray. Yeah, that's fair. It looks good on you.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
Makes your eyes pop.
Ooh, yeah, see? It's just not the same when it's looking through a screen. I'm right here.
Yeah. I'm right here, man.
I'm right here.
It's not the same. This is why maybe I should just come to Raleigh with you guys and just be your unsolicited child.
You could be her doula.
I could give you guys practice of having a child. I could be, you guys could feed me. How prof goes, already have one child.
okay.
Well said, prof.
Yeah, you set her up too perfectly.
Yeah,
that
was great.
Way to take the bait there, babe.
It's like we planned that.
Maybe we did. So I mean, I think we're looking at March or April for that court in the backyard, so it's going to be even more of a reason for you to pop in if we get that bad boy situated.
Yeah, I'm ready for that. Are you going to train with me?
Yeah, I think I'll do a little bit. I mean, I still got to get some exercise somehow.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so maybe.
And I think you'd have fun if you're just looking at it as like, this is like, to be healthy.
Yeah, to be healthy. And even like some rec play. I mean, for a while there, it was basically just, I mean, what these players are doing, what you're doing, this is real
work. It's job now. Yeah, it's a job.
And so I was at a situation where, you know, I'm playing so many tournaments, my body's hurting a little bit. So basically, I did not want to practice unless it was for to really get better. And now playing just some light rec games, having fun, playing with lower level players and stuff like that, it's way more enjoyable. Yeah. And I just couldn't do that back in the day because it was just too much and it was too hard on the body. And so if I'm basically, since this is my job, if I'm not going to make money or be getting better with my practice,
why would I be on court?
Right. Yeah. So it is nice to be a little more free and you know, enjoy some of that stuff more than I did in the past.
Yeah, no doubt.
What else we got, Robert? What do you want to talk about?
What else, prof? Do you want to hop in here?
Come on, prof. Get in here.
Okay. That worked.
We back.
Prof's here. Talk, prof.
Prof, talk.
What's up, guys?
The old what's up, guys.
That
was great. So, prof, you're watching. We can bring this over. You're watching a little pickle. We've got Jesse Irvin and Terror the Shinko, or whatever those tropical call her.
They have some good ones.
They do.
Terror Shinko establishing dominance.
Schneeman and Etta Wright are up 9-3 in game one over Terror Shinko and Irvin. That's a surprising score.
A little ish.
Prof, you ready for MLP?
I'm excited.
We're going to light people up.
We are. Yeah.
Okay. This is the first time I actually saw Dow play and played against him. He's a big boy.
He's a large human, man.
He is. He kind of annoyed me during one of the during some of the points that we were playing him, because he was like talking like as he's hitting the ball. He's like, "Oh yeah." I'm like, "What are you?" I'm like, "Dude, shut up!" Like, why are you saying "Oh yeah" as you're hitting a D?
I mean, that's pretty good stuff. Hey, it's mental warfare. He obviously rattled you a little bit.
I'm like, "Dude, shut up!"
Did anyone get to see him play mixed?
I watched a little bit. I saw him overextending and missing some balls, but he said he felt fine.
Yeah.
I think he'll be good.
Yeah, that's the – I mean,
we have a practice day before start MLP.
Exactly. Mix is easy anyway, so he'll be fine.
I've seen him play men's plenty of times, but never really seen him play mix. But like you said, he's got the length for it. So.
Yeah. Also kind of a little bit of a unique breed in terms of being a big guy, 6'4", and wanting to be on that right side. Mm-hmm. You know?
I think we'll see more of that.
Yeah.
I really think that's going to happen more and more. You know, they're going to – right side players are going to – look less like me and Tyson, and, yeah. and you're going to see some big guys over on the right too.
It is so. Interesting because on the if you're on the left, you do need to be a bit more mobile. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And the
definitely.
Big guys aren't necessarily that mobile, but they have great counters right there in the mm-hmm. backhand. So, yeah, checks out.
Yeah, checks out definitely. So that's hilarious that he was saying stuff just like yeah. You know,
I literally was just like, "What are you doing?"
Like, he's too used to rec play. He doesn't play that many tournaments.
No, it's true. It's true.
he came out last night too.
Yeah, he's pretty fun.
He was fun. So we had Lee Whitwell came out, had a couple drinks. So I had a good time last night. Probably a little too much fun. So
I was stone cold sober.
Yeah, you were
taking it all.
It was funny because she was like, she has like a different perspective. So
totally.
Because you know, I mean. If you notice things when you're on a different level, if everyone's on the same level of, you know, maybe a little bit of a buzz, it's just kind of what's happening. But when you're the DD kind of watching everyone have a good time, you see it from a different perspective.
For sure.
I mean, I'm sure I've seen it before.
Yeah,
I was right there with you guys.
You were in the mix.
You're sipping on that wine.
Uh-huh. I mean, it's the same thing with pickleball too. An outside set of eyes can see things that you don't see when you're in the moment. So
totally.
But yeah, fun night for sure. And some good. How was your weekend pickleball wise?
I got what I wanted out of it.
There you go.
I'd played a tournament since the end of October and.
Really, it had been that long.
Yeah, that's when Hilton Head was.
Well, okay, yeah.
But the longest break in a while?
That is the longest break in years, I would say. Because even last year, I took 1 month off. But I wanted to get on court and competition and just get back in the swing of things before MLP. And so I accomplished my goal.
Got what you wanted.
Yep.
Little mix with Adam and what more could you ask for?
And Lee, I mean, I had fun partners and I felt pretty good about my game. So
there you go.
About what's going to happen in 2 weeks.
Someone saying they love seeing me out there waddling around.
I just remember Adam on mixed day just like several times. What am I doing here, prof? What am I doing here?
I mean, you can't say no to the pregnant lady. No, she asked you to play.
Yes, but it started on we drove, unfortunately. 11 hours?
It's like 10. Yeah,
okay,
like
10 hours. And the whole drive, what are you doing to me, prof? Why are we driving? Why are we going to Florida?
What are you doing to me?
What am I doing with my life?
I mean, that's a long drive.
It is.
That's a serious drive. At least you're gonna break it up.
Another thing that I saw happening at the APP Punta Gorda tournament was they had a MLP representative handing out duper balls. They're going to use a different ball for the MLP and. The rough kind of breakdown is it's similar to a Dura, but softens up a little quicker. So I kind of messed around with it a little bit. Really hard ball, neon yellow, and that's kind of what the guy said is it plays a lot like a Dura, but it does soften up quick. So I don't know exactly what that means, but that's, you know, the ball makes a difference. We've talked about it plenty of times, so we'll have to see if it's a very small change or maybe bigger than we think at MLP.
Yeah, I mean... I have a little issue with it, right? Because I got these balls, but I'm playing a Boca tournament this weekend, so I'm not going to use those. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to use these balls up to like leading up to that tournament at all. And then you know I fly out Monday to Arizona, have Tuesday, Wednesday to practice, and then Thursday we compete. So I get 2 days to try to get used to this ball that's never been used in a tournament. It's never been used anywhere. And now we just have to play with this new ball.
And 2 days, yeah. And I'm the same way. If I was playing that Boca tournament, I'm not playing with that new ball.
Yeah.
I have to lead up at least a few sessions with the ball that's being played at the tournament. So, maybe it's real similar. But I mean,
we've seen balls usually are not.
Yeah, I know.
Like I don't know all the intricacies of making these wiffle balls, but. It's hard to I haven't seen another ball that's very close to the Dura ever.
And it's a huge factor too. Everyone's good. There's not really big edges to be had. So if the ball is a little different or favors, you know, two players that are really similar, but maybe favors the game a little bit. I mean, it's a big deal. That could be the difference in, you know, some wins and some losses at MLP.
Yeah. And look, you're going to have these PPA players that have this next week off playing with it for, you know, over a week leading up. Whereas, and I'm just not going to do that.
Right.
So it's, yeah, I think it's, you know, everything with MLP has been rushed this year, right? Because it's had to be. Mm-hmm. But this seems like an unnecessary thing to throw in at the very last minute.
Yeah,
my take on it.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about it.
I didn't either.
The guy just kind of showed up. And so basically everyone that is playing MLP that at the APP tournament, he gave a bag of balls to. So, yeah, I that's the first I had heard of it. Who do you have this upcoming weekend in Boca?
Playing with Dow.
Dow, okay.
And Susanna, yeah.
And the Dark Horse, the Net Lord.
Yeah, won't be as windy, so it should be more fun.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I noticed it. I always noticed, like, the wind the most for me is on, like, fourth and sixth shots.
Yeah.
When they're dropping to you and you get set and you're, like, going to take it out of the air, and then it's just not just not there anymore.
No, it's hard. Or you think you have an overhead and then it lands in the kitchen.
Yeah. Yeah. So
you tried to hit a lob.
I
and it landed in the kitchen.
Oh, that's great.
I hit a third shot lob.
That was a drop.
The third shot lob that landed in the kitchen.
It was great.
The players didn't take it out of the air. So, and, you know, I mean, it's a wiffle ball. I mean, the wind really affects it. And we had a quarterfinal match against Hunter and Paris, and it was basically, I kind of think everyone on the court played poorly. It was just, we played worse.
Yeah.
No. So, like, no one played good. It wasn't clean.
I don't think you can play good.
Yeah. The points were not clean. Lots of errors in the first three or four shots of the point and stuff like that. So, you know, it is what it is. I mean, you're at the tournament. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
But it just kind of stinks because I feel like if the conditions were better, there would have been some really good points in that match and some fun firefights and resets. Instead, there was quite a few errors.
It just leads to low quality pickleball.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, all good.
Standards.
gotta
have them. Gotta create them. What else, Prof?
Prof, we've talked for 30 minutes. We brought you on to take over and kind of guide
the
pod.
You want me to take over?
Yes.
You talk to people for a living. You're a professor.
Yeah, I come up with prepared material.
Well, we've actually been doing a better job of that lately, not for this particular episode, but I've been writing my notes down and coming a little prepared.
But I feel like today's going well.
Willy-nilly. It is.
Yeah.
It is. Sometimes that's better. I think I kind of feel like it could actually be better, but it could also be worse if you come not prepared.
Yeah, it could be.
Yeah.
If you're trying to, like, quote stuff that's happening, like, in, like, results, and we just don't know or remember, like, stuff.
I remember the one time when we had to edit it out, and I just read off, like, 15 teams.
Oh, yeah.
Rob was like, stop.
Just stop.
We're done. We're done. I was like, okay, fair enough.
And it was just reciting just a list.
Yeah. That's right. So you'll be in, you're fully nomadic.
I'm fully nomadic,
Florida, you're going to
Arizona
for the MLP, and then not sure.
Yeah, so Sunday night of MLP, when it ends, I'm flying to Dallas. On the 30th, I'm shooting first episode of Drive, Dink, and Dine.
Oh, wow.
With Selkirk at Chicken and Pickle in Grand Prairie, Texas.
Oh, okay.
And then the next day, going to the Grapevine location and filming there.
Look at you.
And then from there, I might go to a Coeur d'Alene to shoot some more Selkirk.
I'm a content creator. You're a professional athlete and a high-end content creator.
High-end. Internet personality.
Internet personality.
I like when you use that one.
No, it's. I'm not going to lie. I am very much enjoying my domesticated life. my domesticated life here with my lovely wife.
Yeah.
But I remember my nomadic days, the first couple of years of pickleball.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, they say the grass is always greener. You always want what you don't have.
Yeah.
But there's some cool stuff about being nomadic.
Well, sure.
There's also cool stuff about having a home.
having a home is cool.
I don't hold you back, really.
No, you don't.
No, you let him do his thing.
Yeah, it's true. That's
it may be a little bit different with a baby, but
I would think so. Yeah, I would think so.
You can kind of go where you want to go.
Once we have this baby, you're out. I'm focused on the child.
Yep.
I'm out.
Yeah, you're not going to get any attention from me.
Oh, I don't believe it. Oh,
she doesn't.
I don't believe it either.
She doesn't believe it, huh?
It will be cool to see you guys have a little mini baby.
God, it'd be fun. It's wild, man.
Adam with a baby. I'm still trying to process it.
When I
met Adam, he was nomadic.
Yeah.
And now he's married and living, owns a home and is having a baby.
House husband.
That's right. Wild times. I can't wait to make some homemade baby food in our juicer.
Oh yeah.
I mean, if that's not domesticated, I don't know what is.
Yeah. What else is that? What are we watching? What we got?
We got. Who's okay. On? Yeah. So we got.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Schneeman Wright got that first game over Irvin, the Tereshchenko.
Tereshchenko, who always likes to establish dominance.
Yes, that's
her famous line. Ooh, I think that was going wide. But yes, so they won the first game and they're down 5-3 in the second game. And Jesse and Irina have played quite a bit together.
Yeah,
I don't believe did they play at all last year, but 2 years ago. They played a lot. Yeah. So, you know, maybe some of the newer viewers think it's a new partnership, but they're pretty comfortable with each other.
Yeah.
They are, and they've got Irina on the left, which is what I would have expected.
That's where she should be.
Yeah.
In that. Just much more comfortable on the backhand dink than the forehand dink.
Yeah, definitely. And I think I believe it was a Tuesday pickleball at the Orchard. Or no, actually, I think it was the Bubbly, where I saw Irina on the right, and it looked like she was having a little bit of issue with that forehand dink.
Yeah.
Cause she does kind of, she does a little
it.
Bit of a
she
hook.
Yeah,
yeah. A little hook and roll. And then of course the beautiful carve backhand,
yeah.
Which, you know, occasionally when you knife that dink, it does carry a little too far sometimes, but she's pretty dang good at controlling that backhand.
Yeah, for sure. And if that thing bounces, it's tough to pick up.
Oh, definitely.
So you gotta take it out of the air.
Definitely. Oh, they got the double court going here. It's exciting. We got the flying Frenchman. So didn't you hear something about like Carvana going out of business or something? Is that right?
Well, their stocks.
Well, I'm in finance. Carvana is very heavily shorted, which is not a good sign for the company.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, people
don't
think
believe in it.
They don't believe in it. Yeah.
Gotcha. And that's the. I mean, the Carvana is it's just like the car vending machine thing.
Yeah.
That's okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I'm pretty sure Dundon Capital Partners has a pretty large stake in that business.
Gotcha.
So, which is obviously why they're a main sponsor. He's
one of the title sponsors. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay. Well, that's, hey, thanks for that little stock tip there. Finance.
Finance prof.
Finance prof. There you go.
Tell us about your first day in the classroom. You made all the kids stay the entire time.
Yeah, so yeah, that's what I'm saying. So we are, I have to go so we don't have to backtrack because we're driving to Punta Gorda to play pickleball, which I thought I was done with, but apparently not. So we went on campus. So I was hanging out for 3 or 4 hours on campus before we left to drive. And what professor keeps the kids the whole time on the first day? You go over the syllabus and that's it.
Bye. Yeah, have a nice day.
Uh-huh.
We have a long semester ahead of us. Everybody get some rest. Prepare for it. Not prof.
Not prof.
Everybody sit your ass down. We're not leaving here today until time is up. And even when time is up, you're going to stay and ask me questions. Isn't that what happened?
Well, a lot of students did stay and ask me questions.
Oh, I believe
it. I didn't force them to. I did let them go about 15 minutes early. But they had 15 minutes worth of questions.
would you say you're a hard professor?
It's hard for me to.
Firm but fair.
It's hard for me to say because I think that finance is a hard subject for a lot of people. And so, but I don't think my grading is that mean or anything. I give a lot of extra credit and, as long as they do the homework and complete their assignments, almost nobody should fail. As long as they're putting in some minimal amount of effort.
Yeah.
So the subject's hard. What can I do?
It's all about the free cash flows,
right? It is, yeah.
I will have to say, when she a lot during the pandemic, when she was teaching from home, it was pretty fun to listen.
Oh,
listen
sure.
to her teach. You know, she's just doing her thing, and it was fun.
Is it mostly like you're lecturing?
Mostly, yeah. And it depends on the class. I have a class where we're managing a student investment fund for Campbell, and there's a lot more discussion in that one. So. Discussing
you got
the current events.
You had some people that they put up $100,000 for the fund, right?
$125,000.
And you're managing it?
Well, I'm overseeing the students managing it.
Gotcha. Yes. Got it. Yeah. Oh, it looks like we have Jay DeVillier, DJ Young, and Matt Wright and Riley Newman on court about to start on second
so
court.
That means Jay and DJ beat Lung and Callen.
Yes. Okay. That's yeah, I mean, I would say maybe that's a 60-40 match.
Yeah, Lung and Callen are the 3 seed.
Yeah, and
they're solid together.
They are, and that's another one of those teams that I would consider pretty dang high floor.
Yeah,
with that squad, there's not going to be a lot of 1 and 2 days there.
No. Yeah, they just make so many balls. It's hard to go
right.
Yeah,
and I think that they're almost always, kind of in the later stages of the back draw in that 5th-6 or that bronze medal match or 4th-place match. So really solid team, and but definitely not surprised to see them go down to DJ and Jay, who I think could be a pretty good team.
Yeah.
And that's another one of those bigger, longer guys going over to the right side. I really think we're going to see more and more of it. And go ahead. I was just going to say that's just really what they need to do. Just stick with DJ over there. Hopefully, like we talk about, Jay moving is at his best. Just don't be quite as psycho, Jay. Sometimes he gets a little carried away, but the dude's he moves for being 6'2", 6'3", whatever he is, he moves really well.
And not a thin 6'2", 6'3".
Right.
Like,
really strong guy, and he moves well. He moves really well.
I don't remember what I was going to say.
I bet it was good.
Oh, are they playing any back draw? Do we know? Or is it just all main draw just because of the rain?
I haven't seen any updates in the back draw, so I'm not sure.
It makes
sense. All the updates
Main. I'm just glad they're not changing the main draw to 15ers. Mm-hmm. Like, it's so rough if you do that.
Yeah, I mean, just think. It's just happened so frequently. And it's such a big deal because you get down. How many times do you get down 6-0, 5-0, or 7-0? And to just wipe out a game and have a fresh start is a huge deal.
Yeah.
And if you get down 6-0 or 7-0 in a game to 15,
you're in trouble. Yeah,
yeah, it's a big deal. So
and pickleball is still so young. You have a lot of new players coming in, and you might get surprised by somebody in a first game, and then you figure it out.
Yeah, it's hard. You could be significantly better than someone, but they just have some stuff you've never seen before. And
totally.
And so and I see. I look at these draws. I scroll through it. There is so many, like 10-12 or 9-11, and then the team wins like 2-2.
Yep.
You know? And if that's a game to 15, that might not be happening.
Totally.
You know? So yeah, the change of format is definitely a big deal.
Standards.
Standards. Man, what is this? Is Palm Desert, man.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
Rainy. Not good. Not good.
Not good. Not good. Wind advisory.
What else we got going on in that bracket, in that men's bracket? Who else is through? What are the semis looking like?
We'll let our
hit us, prof.
Data.
Oh, well,
lady.
Dylan and JW are playing Tyson and Ignatowicz.
That says court 28. I wonder if that's true.
I don't think all of these court numbers are
accurate.
Yeah.
From yesterday.
That's a fun match.
That's a great match.
I would definitely like to see that match.
So that's the last quarterfinal to be played. It looks like everything else is established.
Okay.
So the winner of that will play the Johns brothers, and then the other semifinal is Jay and DJ against Riley and Matt.
So what was the score with Jay and DJ and 12-10, 11-6 against Lung and Dawson.
Yeah.
So that sounds about right. And I think we had I think Dane and Altoff.
Oh yeah.
I think they lost first round, but I think it was pretty close.
It was.
So
I wonder who they went down to. Doesn't matter.
Sure it does. Corinne, look it up.
Dane and
the men's draw. Yeah,
and I think they
lost first round. Let me see.
Yeah, we talked about that matchup. Like, it's not as a regular pro player, it's not one you really want to play because those guys are good.
French and Chuck Taylor.
Oh, okay,
French.
That's right.
And there's another one. Lost the first game 13-11 and then won
5-1. And 11-5. Yep. 5-1. Yeah, but I see those scores a lot. It's very, very common. So just another little tidbit on how important and how much that the format affects.
I would like to have seen that match because I would like to have seen French just chirping.
You know French. He's chirping. He has to. He has to. He's
playing,
not going to.
Playing seniors, and especially with like Altoff, because Altoff, you know, hip thrusting, come on.
He's not going to let Altoff do his thing without a rebuttal from French. What do you say to French? French, you just keep being you.
Yeah. Don't ever stop.
Don't ever change.
Don't ever change. No, he's great. We need more French.
Yeah, I mean, I agree.
Personalities in pickleball is a good thing.
You can have some kind of plain Jane guys, but you got to balance it out with some personalities as well. So I think it's just better viewing for everyone.
Yeah.
We got MacGuffinator. That's a new one.
MacGuffinator.
I like McMuffin.
Huh?
I'm sticking with McMuffin.
McMuffin's good. Yeah. That was I think that was on the John Boy.
John Boy Media.
When they did the voiceover of some of our points. Yeah. They didn't know who anyone was. Yeah. They were like, Barstone, don't know who's who. They called him McMuffin the whole time.
That's kind of like the original Tropical in a way, right? It's kind of the similar way they do videos.
I agree. Yeah. I agree. It's very similar.
But it's good stuff. Tropical kills it.
Yeah, it is. Man, some of the
memes of pickleball, they're
flowing in. I think it was just like, you know, one...
Just destroying Query, too.
Yeah, man.
Man, they go hard on him.
Sham Query, man, the chat, too.
Sam was asking for it.
Yeah. I mean, this is like what the sport wants and needs. Like, I mean, this is great. Like, have a high-level tennis guy come in and make all these, like, bold predictions.
And, like, do the ear.
Yeah,
like,
do the violin.
The little mini violin.
And then just, like, I mean, today's men's showing was, or yesterday's men's showing was reasonable. Like, they lost pretty tight in three to a good team. Who was that?
Well, I know it was Sam Querrey and Wes Burrows.
Yeah.
And
but they lost a tight one, and I was like, okay, that's a respectable score. Wes's back must hurt.
it's Spencer Smith and Christian Alshon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I haven't seen Alshon play doubles, but Spencer's obviously solid.
Yeah. So, I mean, true. I mean, you can't. I mean, Spencer is the definition of a solid veteran. Yeah. Is basically what he is. So you had you said you played a little bit with him up in Utah, and he's known as a little more reserved and quiet guy. But you said he's got some jokes and got some funny stuff. Yeah, it kind of came out of his shell a little bit.
Yeah, for sure. I think when he's comfortable in his environment, which he is obviously there. And he was cracking some jokes. Personality came out less quiet.
Yeah, I remember. It's like, oh, I was surprised. Well, that's good.
Maybe
that's
more
good.
Relaxed environment too, right? Because when I usually see him, he's at tournaments. And you know, more focused, serious, but yeah, it was cool to spend some time with him.
Yeah, he really keeps it pretty calm now. But I remember when he was playing a lot of singles.
Yeah,
he's got some fire. He's got some fire in there. So maybe they are. I haven't seen an update in the back draw. So maybe who knows what's going on.
I think they probably stopped it.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's really far back. Well, then they all say next up on CC. So yeah, they had a lot of
matches on CC to come.
Right.
Well, I think this was a reasonable episode considering it almost didn't happen.
Adam
really did not want to record this morning, but I said, Adam, get moving. You're gonna feel better.
I'm not gonna
brought
lie.
Starbucks over.
Yes, I'm not gonna lie. When I woke up, I was thinking maybe it wasn't gonna happen.
Yeah, no, so I know that.
We powered through because I mean, this is what we do.
Championship Sunday.
This is what we do.
Adam, do you like powering through?
I like this question.
Gosh, I mean,
I feel like
just,
this is.
Do you feel like I'm weak willed sometimes, Corinne?
Occasionally.
In what situations is he weak willed?
Oh God, here we go.
Oh, I
can't. It's not for public consumption.
And so you feel like you're very good at powering through when you need to. Is that what you feel about yourself?
Uh-huh. Do you feel like you're mentally stronger than Adam?
In terms of dealing with some life. General life situations, probably, yeah. I will say, like, when it comes to pickleball, Adam, he's like, I just never miss. You claim that your special skill in pickleball is
like.
Oh, it's
trick shot.
Oh, it's or whatever, my trick shot. Is uncontrollable, not missing.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And so we're going into a tournament. And it's like, I don't need to practice. I never miss. But I've never had that level of confidence in myself in anything.
Well, I get lit up. I just don't miss.
Yeah.
I mean, we've talked through this.
I will lose, but I just don't miss.
Yeah, yeah. You get lit up. Yeah. I'm not missing anything. Except for those four dinks in a row in Hilton Head last year.
I couldn't believe it. I was like, he never does this.
Yeah.
Hey, are you okay?
Hey, fourth and fifth shots. 52 for 52. Hey, what? You're a numbers girl. What percentage is that?
52-52?
Yeah.
I need a calculator for that one.
That's 100%, baby. That's 100%. That's no missing. No missing.
But yeah, to me, that's mental strength when it comes to your sport. And I haven't had that level of mental strength in a sport before. I go out there and I've got some pretty negative thoughts usually, but somehow have managed to deal with it. But in life in general, I would say I'm probably more of a power through person.
So you got the edge in sports. She's got the edge in life.
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll take it.
Yeah. It's a compromise. That's what it is. Are we good?
I think so. I think it feels right to stop. That was just enough to, you know, give the people what they want. They need us.
They need us.
So we got to give them something, and then maybe we'll get back in the mix next week with a guest. Yeah. Not sure exactly who that'll be, but we've been getting some pretty good feedback. I think
one guest, yeah.
You know, when it's me and you, I think they like that, but I think they like the guests too.
And they like Prof a lot too.
They do.
To be honest,
they do. It's an interesting dynamic.
But Prof's not a guest. Prof's a co-host at this point.
But yes, you are a co-host.
Welcome.
Yes, welcome.
I do like the dynamic. Rob sets me up nicely.
Yeah, I toss the ball up. She just dunks it on you. It's perfect.
It's okay. I can handle it.
But only in small doses, because you can only handle it in small doses. That's otherwise. True. You actually get upset.
Yeah. I think I probably have gotten upset. Like,
yeah.
just kind of like you guys were just sitting there having a drink and a meal at a table. And I think I've just got up and walked away before. Just like, this is enough.
Yeah. This is enough. But I think we're pacing ourselves pretty well.
I think so.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Because you know why?
Why?
Because it feels right.
It feels right. Legendary. Yeah.